Thank you, worship team. Good morning, Oak River Church. How's everybody doing?
Good.
What's that?
I said welcome, finally.
Welcome? Yeah, this, for me, this message is about almost 6 months in the making. I'm going to call a slight audible, but it's not going to affect it's not going to affect tech. Don't worry about it. The reason why it's 6 months in the making is because I guess want to start from the origins of what this message was about 6 months ago. The title of the message is called Chosen, and it's my own personal relationship with God is he speaks to me through my own communications and my own interactions with him. And they're very personal, and they're a little bit outside the box because I think he created me outside of the box. and he either gives me communicate with me in three-word phrases. And the most recent three-word phrase several months ago was, I am chosen. Or he said to me that you are chosen, but it's for me as I am chosen, which had no idea obviously what that meant, but I kind of hear it and I just let him kind of tell me what that means as life goes on. It probably started for me to start to put the pieces together what it was about in the late summertime when I was coaching one of my basketball teams and we had won our summer league championship. Woohoo! And one of the parents came up to me after the game and after the championship game, she gave me a big hug. Most of the parents talked to me individually after the game. And she was a little bit misty. I thought, okay, we won a championship. It's okay to cry, whatever. But she said to me, I just wanted to let you know. I wanted to say that I was thanking God every day for the last several months that he chose you to be my son's basketball coach because you helped mend his relationship with his dad. First time I told that story, my wife didn't know it, nobody knew it, because I kind of kept it to myself because it was special to me. But it was right after God spoke those words to me, it was like, okay, maybe, is that what I was chosen for? And initially I thought it made me feel good, like I'm the chosen one, like, I'm special. And he had spoken to me that I want you to spread this message. So when I wrote the message down and started to create this message, I think God was, as I was writing it, God was telling me that you were chosen, but the message and the direction you were going with was just a bit off kilter based on how prideful you were in hearing how great you thought you were. Based on what the parent had told you. A little bit later on, for work, I had to go to Virginia and close one of our divisions down, unfortunately, because it was underperforming, and it was a nightmare to close that branch down, not only because people were losing their jobs, but it was the fact that it was unorganized. It was supposed to be one day. I only packed for one day. I was down there 3 days. I called my wife and was just ultimately not happy, and I had to go buy clothes and was missing home, and I didn't want to be in Virginia, and then I was driving this huge van full of equipment, and I was just, I just hated the whole experience. It was horrible. And on the drive home, my boss, who apologized profusely, and I didn't want to hear it, obviously, because I was just upset. But the last thing he said to me was, "I thank God I chose you to go down there because without you, this wouldn't have finished the way it did." So I heard that word again, chose, that I was chosen to do this. a little bit later on, about a month and a half later, and this is very insignificant, but it just maybe just meant something to me. In Giant Eagle, just in an aisle, I'm at one end, and there's a woman, poor little small thing, could not reach something up at the top shelf, and I can see her down there struggling to get something off the top shelf. And I saw one gentleman walk right, look at her dead in the face, and walk right by her. Then I saw another guy look at her dead in the face, walk right by her. Just could see her struggling to get this thing off. And I'm like, you guys couldn't take 2 seconds to stop and help her out. So it just felt like time froze right then and there for me. And God said, I'm choosing you to go help her out. So I'm having this like, what felt like a 40-minute conversation with God. It's like, why do I have to go help her out? These two dudes just walked by, nobody else helping her out. There's Giant Eagle employees all over the place. It felt like a 40-minute conversation. I'm arguing back and forth, and he's like, will you just go help that poor woman get that jar off the shelf? I walked down, and I helped the woman get the jar off the shelf, and she said, thank you. It may seem insignificant, but it just felt like God chose me at that moment in time to go help her get that jar off the shelf. Now, again, all that happened after I initially wrote the first message, which for Chosen came to what is being presented today. Because the word chosen is such a big and powerful word, especially in the Bible, and especially how it's being used in today's culture, in today's world. There's television shows, there's pageants or plays, there's musicals, and I was a little bit afraid to even approach using this word because of its power, but I'm just going to go for it anyway because it's what I feel the word speaks to me. And there's the phrase that is used as, for many are called, but few are chosen, is what I'm going to base most of this message off of. And in that aspect, there's a difference between being called by God and being chosen by God. What it means to be called by God is the word calling is used several times throughout the Bible. The word called is an invitation. It's an invitation to something more than life, than a life serving only ourselves. An invitation to live a life together with Christ, serving God and experiencing the fulfillment that brings to life. It's an invitation to be a disciple of Jesus and to follow in his footsteps, and ultimately an invitation to spend eternity with him. That calling is from God to everybody. Everybody gets that calling. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do, who you vote for, who you root for, what you do in your day in, day out life, God calls everybody. That's the calling. But the few that are chosen, the chosen are the ones that accepts that invitation to do what is necessary, to say yes to the calling, and to follow it up with a faithful disciple life. God calls us, but those who are chosen are those who are wholeheartedly accepting this invitation and the conditions of 100% faithfulness. It doesn't matter what your starting point is, who you are by nature, or what your background is, what our talents are, what we do or do not have, what our knowledge is, what our circumstances are. The thing that determines whether or not we are chosen is how we respond to that calling from God, that invitation in our heart, and what fruit we bear as a result of it. If we go to Ephesians 1:4, and the Apostle Paul, who Sandy probably could correct me, I believe he was writing this passage when he was in prison in Rome. According to him, Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God has chosen us because we are special to him. We belong to him, to his family, and we are living children of him. You don't have to be super skilled in anything. You don't have to be a great athlete. You don't have to be a special musician, a great talent, a great student, or anything. You don't have to have more or less difficulties, more or less in your struggles, more or less in your hurts. Don't let people fool you. We all have struggles. Some hide it better than others. But in the midst of all this, God still says, I choose you. We are set apart by God so that we can be more like Christ, so that the world can see Christ in us. It is a huge responsibility, but we are also given the power to accomplish this. So if we're all chosen by God, which we all are because we've all received the calling, what does it mean to be chosen by God? When you are chosen by God, you are deeply loved. You are forgiven. You are adopted as a son or daughter through Jesus Christ. You are called out of the darkness into his marvelous light. You are a producer of fruit that will last, and you will have grace and mercy lavished upon you. That is amazing when you accept the calling and decide to be chosen by God. Now, today's message, as I continue, is going to be a bit interactive because I'm going to need all of your help today. All of you. Because all of you are, who here has been chosen today by God? Wait, let me back up. First of all, who here has been called by God? Every hand should be up because everybody's been called by God. Whether you picked up the phone or not, you've all been called by God. But who has been chosen by God? If you haven't, you will be by the end of the day. So, you all going to help me out today with the message. So, we're going to have a couple of polls that I'm going to need you to help me out with. So, we had this once before in the past. If you could, whip out your cell phones and we're going to use this poll everywhere. From your cell phone, text Oak River C374 to 22333, and that will get you set up to answer a couple of questions for me for the rest of today's message. Now, we're going to get into talking more about being chosen, but I want to show a slight video clip first about being chosen.
The problem appears to be unsolvable. Maybe we could run some computer simulations.
There are too many variables. It would take forever.
We've got to be missing something. Let's start again. The movie is playing here at 7:20, here at 7:40. Here at 8:10 and here at 8:45.
All right, these theaters have to be eliminated.
Why? They're state-of-the-art, digital projection, 20-channel surround sound.
Yes, but they have no icy machines. Despite my aggressive letter-writing campaign, I might add.
Wait, what about the multiplex here? The seats are terrific.
They have Twizzlers instead of red vines. No amount of lumbar support can compensate for that.
Well, it's going to take at least an hour to eat, and I don't see a Sheldon-approved restaurant proximate to a Sheldon-approved theater.
We could eat after the movie.
Unacceptable. The delay would result in tomorrow morning's bowel movement occurring at work.
Hang on. There's a 7-Eleven here. We smuggle Slurpees, which are essentially ices, in under our coats after having a pleasant meal either here, here, or here.
Wow. I don't see how we missed that.
Excuse me, in what universe are Slurpees ices?
That's how we missed it.
Sheldon, would you be prepared on a non-presidential basis to create an emergency ad hoc Slurpee icy equivalency?
Oh, Leonard, you know I can't do that.
Okay, I guess we only have one option.
Yep, I don't see any way around it.
Bye, Sheldon.
See ya.
Later, dude.
They're right, it was the only option.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state.
In that clip, poor Sheldon was chosen to be left at home. So today, I want you guys to help me. We're going to have a little bit of fun in making in you being chosen. So for today, you two can look at this question, but then you can't look at it again. Everybody else, I want you to answer this. If one of these had to go out of your life and you could never have it again, which one has to go? Text A for ice cream, B for brownies, C for cookies, or D for chips. I chose Matt and Carly as test subjects because I want to see if you will match the majority. You can't look. I'm going to wait a few more minutes and let that go. Wow. Wow. That's awfully close. If you match the majority, I'll give you a prize. How's that? How's that? I'll go with, you know what? I think I'm going to leave it right there. So it looks like the majority says chips have to go, which is D. What? Oh, brownies came in second. There you go. Congratulations. I'm sorry. But thank you. You were chosen to help me out.
Do I keep going and add
no? No, sit down. Get out. Go away.
I thought I kept going.
No. But thank you. You were chosen. So Matt and Carly were chosen by me. But what is this? What are the signs that you are chosen by God, which is far more important than being chosen by me for a Dunkin' Donuts gift card, obviously. So the signs that are chosen, that you are chosen by God. The first is the revelation, a sign of revelation, which means I have appeared to you. The principle of revelation is that Jesus has made himself known to you. Jesus appeared to Paul in dramatic fashion three times, including on his road to Damascus and while he appeared in prison. To others, he reveals himself in a more subtle way. We are accountable for the glimpse of Jesus which we have been given, and this is the start of our relationship with him. If you have not met the person of Jesus Christ, you will, according to God's plan for your life. He may not be dramatically obvious as he was with the Apostle Paul, but he does desire to appear to you. And Christ does appear in his own way to you. For me personally, he has appeared in a couple of different ways, but probably the one for me personally was in the image of a butterfly that we saw at a zoo in Toronto on my daughter's birthday, and that butterfly happened to have purple in it, which was my daughter's favorite color, and it happened to land no more than a couple of feet right in front of us, right as we were talking about her, like right at that moment, and it was just it felt like a God moment, and it felt like it was either Megan or God or both letting us know that he was there and she was there. So that's a sign. Number two is the role that you are, the second sign is the role. The principle of appointment is that Jesus wants to give you a role. When you enlist in the army, you're given a role. When you land on a football team, you're given a role. Even when you are signed up for employment, you are given a role. Many of us have never listened or responded to Jesus' appointment for us. Jesus has a role for all. God has a role for all of us. Sometimes we make assumptions on what we should be doing, and I have been guilty of that a couple of times, in which I think I know what God wants me to do, and I don't listen or properly hear what God wants me to do. And sometimes we all need to take a step back and pray and really listen to what God has for our roles for us. The third is servanthood. This next sign is to be appointed as a servant. The principle calls for you to first be called as a servant. What does Jesus appoint us to do? That first calling is the first to become a role as a servant. Sometimes we have become a society of takers rather than servants. But I think we are becoming more, I shouldn't say we are becoming, I think we are more of neutrals. And when I say neutrals, I think we're more or less taking the side of not being takers, but doing nothing rather than serving. So there's more people in the middle of not doing either. I don't want to say there's not necessarily more takers. There's probably more neutrals. You're not taking, but you're not serving either. I think the more the society is right there in the middle, and there is a lot more of us that need to be servers and servers rather than takers. So ask, when that call comes, have you responded to his call to serve? The next sign is to be a witness. God has also called you to be a witness. A witness is one who testifies. We are called to testify, to know what we know of Jesus. We know, for example, that Jesus has given us the gift of eternal life, the same gift he has given to everyone else. Are we always looking for ways to boldly give an account of what God is doing in our lives? And that's another thing that I personally don't see enough of, is what is Jesus doing in our lives? It's not out there. It's not prevalent. There's just too much of the bad and what's going on and what everything is doing and what everybody is doing wrong or what we think people are doing wrong. There's not enough of what God is doing right in our lives. At least I don't see it. And then observation, a witness of what you have seen of me. The principle of observation states that you can only witness to what you have seen of Jesus. To be like him or to share him with others, we must see him first. And there's more, a witness of what I will show you. Your witness changes as Jesus progressively reveals himself. And this revolves around most likely your testimony. Your testimony is like bread. It must be kept fresh. If allowed to grow old, its staleness becomes evident. Our walk with Jesus is a daily ongoing thing. Its power or in its life should be continuously updated as he continues to regenerate us and show us new aspects of his character. He has promised to show us more of himself as we walk with him. We must continually choose to walk the right way and grow in Christ. And as we do, we have a fresh witness. People need to hear immediacy and relevancy in our witness. They know what day-old bread looks like. They don't want crusty old day-old bread. They want fresh goodness. As you live your life, are you experiencing more of Jesus? I hate this thing already. So, time for poll question number two. And I feel like choosing you. You've been chosen. Bill, you looked at, what's your excuse? No, you need to come up here. I don't care. You've been chosen. You gonna tell God your phone's dead? You gonna tell God your phone's dead? Sorry. You gonna tell God your phone's dead? No. No, then sit down. Yeah, sit down. I'm not God, but you wouldn't tell him your phone's dead, would you? You've been chosen, right? Okay. You can turn around and then turn back. Because you don't need your phone. Not for this part. Oh, you're fine. See? Okay. Which one of these must go? Turn around, Bill. Oh, okay. Is it A, beards? B, extensions? C, implants? Or D, makeup? One of them's got to go. Choose. Yeah, there's A, B, C, and D. Don't watch the answers. There you go. That's either one vote or... That's either one vote or it's like mass majority. Depends on the crowd. Okay, there we go. Okay, there we go. Polls are open. There you go. Polls are open. So it's not 100%. Okay, I'll close the polls, and it's implants. So it'll be C. What did you pick? B, wigs. You picked C, implants. Congratulations. There you go. I'm sorry, sir. But thank you.
Hey, thanks for have me up here.
Thank you.
You're a good guy.
Suzanne and Bill were chosen for a purpose. Not to humiliate them or make fun of them, but each Christian has been selected by God for a specific purpose. Have you found yours? And to go through these very quickly, because I am almost running out of time. We are chosen to be part of God's family. B, we are chosen to be part of his body. Ephesians 4:16 says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part of its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And C, we are chosen to be his ministers. Ephesians 4:11 and 12 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. So, and I got one more section, but I want to go quickly to slide or chosen question number 3. Roger, I need your help again real quick. People who talk to you in restrooms. C, people who make meetings to make meetings. And D, people who drop trash in public. One must go. Choose.
Did you see? He's holding a box.
Roger.
So I gotta pretend to be all of you guys.
Very interesting.
I know what I would choose. I just don't know what these.
Yeah.
So are you picking what he would choose, or are you just picking what the majority would choose? Hang on. I'm dying.
I don't have
enough. I just picked the one. Ooh, the paper that was on top. Is the poll closed? The poll closed, and the answer was D.
Hey.
D and D. Wow, look at that.
Can you repeat
that? And finally, in theme with Christmas, once you are chosen, you do get gifts for being chosen, but these aren't the traditional gifts that you would think of, but these are better than those. You and I are God's chosen, whether or not you've made the commitment to the Lord yet, he has still chosen you. God tells us in his words, I knew you in your mother's womb. I knew the number of hairs on your head, and who knows you better than Jesus? God, Jesus is calling us to his service. This is different for each person. It doesn't mean that you'll be standing on the street corner, Bible in hand, preaching to the gospel. But we are to serve someone in every day, a big or small portion. And we are certainly being a gift, given a gift as an opportunity to serve others. And these are some of the gifts that you will receive once you are chosen. You could have the gift of encouragement. Is a kind smile and a gentle word your gift? Is your gift hospitality? When people enter your home, do they feel the warmth of Christ? When given the opportunity to provide a meal, a bed, or a safe spot for people facing devastation, or to simply sit and regroup, you are blessing them with the gift of hospitality. Is your gift prayer? Being faithful to hold others up in prayer is a great gift. I am grateful every day for those of you that continue to hold up your home, this church, your families, and your friends in prayer. Scripture constantly tells us to pray without ceasing. Maybe your gift is being a comforter. Think of all the people that have brought you comfort in difficult and dark times. The gift of being a comforter is a great blessing. Maybe your gift is simply being a listener. Often people need a safe place to vent. They are not asking you to fix their problems, but to simply hear what is on their heart. People need to know that they can express their burdens and frustrations without judgment or the fear of their innermost struggles becoming the town's newest gossip. Or maybe, and probably the greatest gift, is simply love. Have you been called to love? When people are in your presence, do they feel love? And Jesus said, when speaking of gifts, the greatest of all these gifts is love. And now for our final poll question before we go. Come here, Ken. I like Ken. Come here, Ken. Get up here. Yes. Rhonda looked at me. I don't know why. She said, I want to participate. So here we go. Rhonda, Ken, this will say a lot about you because you've been chosen. Oh, you could vote. Nobody knows it. Your name's not attached to the vote. But which one of these must, one of these has to go. Which one is it? One has to go. One's going to be gone forever. You can't use one of them forever. Ugh. Ugh. Oh, you already put, you already chose?
Yeah.
Okay. You turn around now. You turn your back to the screen. You chose too? Okay. Woo! Whoa! Okay. And the answer most chosen by this stinky church is, man, deodorant. I am not coming here past April. So deodorant. Whoa! Go, go, stinky. Thank you. In closing, you are here today for a special purpose. Some of you may have needed to hear this particular message. God gave me this message especially for you. If you were the only one present today, I still would have preached this message. If you believe it is God speaking to you and not a man, then faith will come to you and you will rise up and leave this place a changed person. If you have never given your life to Christ, then today is the day of your salvation. Do not postpone. Accept Christ as your Savior now, and he will draw you into his purpose for your life. Your life will no longer be meaningless and empty. He is the same God as of Moses, and he will be to you. Your life will take on a whole new dimension. Life will become purposeful and meaningful, and you will have a fulfilled life. Today, you are chosen to serve God's purposes. Believe it today, and all things will begin to work together for good in your life if you love God. Because if you do, you are chosen according to his purposes. Amen. And now Sandy has a few announcements. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Willie. It was worth the wait. So good. I knew it was going to be full of flavor after all that time in the slow cooker. That was a long time. Thank you. I love it.